Well, I would like to start by welcoming you all to Manassas National Battlefield Park. Now, I don't know if you all have gotten a chance to take a look around, but as you look over these fields here, they look awful peaceful. It's kind of hard to imagine that 137 years ago, you had several thousand men up here trying to kill each other. Now remember though, all of those men who are running around up here, they're not fighting over this farmland. They're fighting over a location about 6 miles in this direction called Manassas Junction. Now Manassas Junction was very important because at that junction, you had two major railroads that came together. You had the Orange and Alexandria, which ran from the junction there up to Washington, D.C. And from the junction in the other direction, it would make it, after a couple of changeovers, all the way down into Richmond, Virginia. Now, also coming into this junction, you had the Manassas Gap Railroad. Now, the Manassas Gap Railroad was very important because it ran from the junction all the way over to the Shenandoah Valley. Now, today you can barely see it, but that mountain range there are called the Bull Run Mountains, and the Shenandoah Valley would be located on the other side of those. Now the reason that railroad was so important is the Shenandoah Valley was a very lush agricultural region. So the farmers could have their goods loaded onto that train, shipped to the junction. From here they could have it loaded on Orange and Alexandria Railroad and have them shipped up to Washington where it could then be sold. Well, once the war began, all of your railroads would become very important for transporting troops and supplies. So one of the things that the Confederacy would do is they would station General P.G.T. Beauregard with 22,000 troops in this area in order to protect that junction. Now directly in front of the junction, he would put up some trenches and try to protect it, but also off in this direction about 1 mile is the Stone Bridge. And that Stone Bridge was the far left end of a 7 mile Confederate defensive line. For 7 miles along the Bull Run, all of your bridges, fords, and crossings were very heavily guarded. That way, if the Union Army should try to punch straight through here, capture that junction, and push on to Richmond, hopefully they would be able to stop them. Now, of course, the Confederacy does not know for sure where the North is going to attack. But they do figure that the North has two basic options. The first one we just mentioned, which is try a direct run on Richmond, punch straight through here, capture the Confederate capital, and end the war. The other option that the North has is they could try to outflank Richmond by sending their army along the Shenandoah Valley, slipping in behind the city, capturing Richmond, and ending the war. Now, in order to prevent that second scenario, the Confederacy has established the Army of the Shenandoah under General Joseph Johnson, and they're sitting out in the Shenandoah Valley in case the North should decide to attack there. Now, to switch gears, 26 miles to our northeast, in this direction here, is Washington, D.C. And sitting there, you have General Irvin McDowell, and he's in charge of the Union Army. Now, he's under a lot of pressure to get this war started. Part of that pressure is because much of the regiments there are 90-day enlistees, and their enlistments are about to run out. So basically, he's under the impression that he's got to get this war started while he still has an army. Now, of course, some of the regiments, their enlistments would actually run out prior to this battle, but they would voluntarily stay on in order to be a part of this. Well, now on July 16th, General Irvin McDowell would finally decide to get started here. He would take 2 days and march as far as Centerville. Now, Centerville is 6 miles in this direction. Once McDowell got to Centerville, he would sit there for another 2 days, sending out his staff officers trying to find a way to get around that Confederate defensive line. Now, you have to remember, coming into this, you have all these fresh northern troops coming down. You have all these fresh southern troops coming up and into this area. Now, even though these soldiers are fighting for very different political ideologies, they would have some very common views about what this war was going to be like and what this battle would be like. And during the course of this battle, they would end up having some very common experiences. Now, coming into this battle, both sides are wearing their dress uniforms. They have their brass polish. They're looking nice and pretty, because this isn't really going to be much of a fight. They're hoping that they're going to come out here, they're going to look so good, be so pretty and so intimidating that the other side is going to take one look, turn tail and run away. Now, not only is that going to decide this battle here, but that's going to decide the entire war. That's going to be it. This one battle will decide everything. Now, some men did realize you might have a fight here, but that wasn't going to be much more, because you're going to come out here, you're going to get in your straight lines. Once again, you're all still looking pretty and looking nice and impressive. You're going to fire one volley. You're all going to fire at once, and again, the other side is going to get scared, turn tail, and run away, and that's going to be it. Now, you did have some men who realized that they might get killed here, but you know, even that wasn't going to be a bad thing, because this was going to be a nice clean war. And if you were shot here, you were going to get shot straight through the heart. You're going to fall dead on the field of honor. They're then going to pick you up. You'll be carried to your hometown, draped in your nation's flags. Well, you'll then be carried through your town as a great hero. So hey, even if you're killed here, now you're immortalized. Now, just before this battle took place, you did have some young men getting really scared. And they would be writing home to their parents, and they would be going up to their officers telling them that they are really scared. They're not scared of getting hurt. They're not scared of dying. They're scared that they're gonna miss it. They're telling their officers, make sure we're right up front, we're right in the front ranks, or they're gonna miss out on all the fun that's gonna take place up here. So now, keeping that in mind, we're gonna head out to the Jackson Monument, where from there you can see the full battlefield, and we're gonna try and give you a little bit more of an idea of what it was really like out here.